Happy Friday, everybody. Hope that you had a great Thanksgiving Day yesterday here in the United States with your friends and family. And let's continue to relax, sit back, and have some leftovers and enjoy some fun Disney conversation. Chef Todd joins us today for an instant review of Epcot's Festival of the Holidays. We're going to talk about all the great goodies that are to be had at Epcot during this holiday season. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. I just want to take this opportunity to personally thank all of my guests at the Magic for Less for allowing me to help you with your Disney vacations here in 2018. When you support the agents over at the Magic for Less, you are supporting an American small business. I can tell you personally, this is how I make my living. This is how I help put a roof over the head of my family, help my daughter go to cheerleading, help my family just have the best lifestyle that they can have. And I thank you so much. I can't really say how much that means to me that I get to chase down my dream and do something that I love each and every day. And I hope that we can continue that partnership throughout 2019. So when you're looking to book a trip to a Disney destination, I promise that I will work as hard as I can to get you the most amazing vacation possible, the lowest cost possible, and I will be there with you throughout the entire process. I'll get back to you right away. And, I appreciate that support, and I promise to always work hard for each and every one of my guests. So when it comes time for that next Disney destination, that trip to that Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Universal, even Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, drop by themagicforless.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Fill out that free, no obligation quote, and you and I are going to have a great time planning a great Disney getaway. So thanks so much for your support. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's a little thing called Black Friday. So if you're doing some online shopping, this is how I like to do it. I don't like to go out to the stores and get wiped out by all the ladies and the men who are the aggressive shoppers. I'm not that kind of a shopper. I do my shopping online. I hope you do too. And when you do that online shopping at Amazon, please support the Be Our Guest podcast at the same time by using our Amazon affiliate link. We appreciate that so much. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please bookmark it on all your devices and use it throughout the holiday season. Again, thank you so very much for supporting the podcast. Just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1411 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving with your friends and family. Today's actually the best day of the year, boy. You get all the leftovers. I'm heading out to Mizzou for Senior Day to see our football team go 8-4. We're going to take care of the Razorbacks, and that hopefully will secure us a bid to a bowl game in Florida. It was looking like we'd end up in either Memphis or Nashville, which nothing's wrong with either one of those cities, but I'd much rather go to Tampa or Jacksonville. So go Tigers, and hopefully you're having a great Black Friday. So let's get to today's show. We're going to be talking food. Today's a great day to talk food because I'm sure you have plenty of leftovers. You don't have to listen hungry. Chef Todd's here to talk about Epcot's Festival of the Holidays. I can't wait for that. But also joining us today, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy late Thanksgiving, Ricky. What's going on?
I'm so full.
I know. Ooh.
It's just, I'm rolling. I rolled over here so I could podcast, and now I'm going to roll back to my couch.
So do you do what I do? I make the Earl of Sandwich holiday sandwich like 10 times over with all the leftovers. I just throw all the stuff on like some wheat bread, and boom, I'm good.
So turkey's not my favorite thing in the entire world, so I don't like to have turkey as leftovers. I keep all the sides. The sides I'm good with, but the turkey part is I can take it or leave it. So sometimes I'll use turkey. If I have a lot of turkey left over, I'll use it in some sort of casserole or something after. But for the most part, I just kind of throw it away. I know I'm a terrible person, so human being and don't like to keep the turkey.
Oh, something's wrong with you. I love my turkey.
I know. Oh. I just really don't like turkey that much. I will eat it at Thanksgiving and that's it. I really don't eat turkey any other time of the year.
I eat it all the
time. Just Thanksgiving.
All right. Also joining us today, we have Chef Todd. Chef Todd, how is it going today? Happy Friday. Happy Black Friday.
Thanks. Glad to be here. I'm a little full myself. I'd have to agree with Ricky. Turkey's not my favorite part of Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. Leftover
salad. See, there you go. Stuffing, the gravy. The sides are where it's at.
Stuffing, yeah. Gravy, yeah. Green bean casserole all in one bowl. That's my favorite.
Oh, there you go.
So you make so basically kind of like... It's kind of like...
Yeah, put it all in one bowl and heat it up. That's it.
So you make kind of almost like one of those KFC famous bowls. I love those things.
Oh, God.
I'm all about the bowl.
Those are so good. They used to serve those at my school. They weren't as good as KFC. They were kind of gross, but they served those to the kids. Anyway, so today, speaking of food, we're not talking leftovers, but have a sandwich handy so you're not starving. If you're heading down to a Walt Disney World this holiday season, which now, hey, it is the holiday season. Thanksgiving's behind us.
Yes, it's officially holidays.
Nobody can complain now. You know what? So we are going to talk the Festival of the Holidays at Epcot, which... You know, we've joked over the past 5-6 years how Epcot is now they've said this on Webway, and, you know, it's all over the internet that Epcot is actually the festival park, which it is, and they've snuck another one in. It's kind of like a light. So let's see if I can get in my head, I was thinking about this today. So you got the Food and Wine Festival, then you got the Flower and Garden Festival, which is kind of like a light version in a way of Food and Wine.
Yes.
And so as I'm thinking about this Festival of Holidays might be a light version of Flower and Garden, maybe, because there's not as many kitchens, but there's a lot to do and a lot to eat, more importantly. So Chef Todd's the expert just back from Walt Disney World to share his thoughts on this. So Todd, in general, first of all, how was the festival at Epcot? How were the crowds? You know, overall, besides the food, what was the festival like?
Festival was fun. We were only there for the day. The crowds were huge, and I think a couple reasons why. It opened on the 9th, on the 18th, which is a Sunday, which was odd. But that was technically Thanksgiving week. So I think people came in on Saturday or Friday and they were already there. So I think that maybe made the crowds a little bigger, you know, inadvertently. It was also Dapper Day there. So there was a lot of people there, which was fun. Yeah. But so the crowds were huge. The lines were long, but I think they moved pretty quickly. There's only 11 kitchens for this festival. So the crowds were big, but the kitchens did a good job handling it.
All right, so let's walk through the kitchens, and I know you hit everything. So first of all, where can people check out your Instagram? Because you have just pictures of all the food that we're going to be talking about today on Instagram, so people can kind of follow along. If they're not driving, hopefully they're just sitting there listening to the show in the recliner. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Recliner, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Instagram is ChefTodd55. I did about 25 reviews of all the savory items. I didn't have time to get to any desserts. I'm going down in December again. Hopefully I'll get some of them then, but I had to draw the line somewhere. I had 4 hours to eat everything, so I just couldn't.
Wait till you see these.
You can't fit in all of it? Come on. Where's your iron stomach?
People want more, so I had to draw the line.
Wait till you see these pictures, guys. I mean, go to his Instagram, check it out. 4 hours. This is ridiculous. I mean, this is like 4 weeks worth of stuff. So anyway, you really did. You kind of, you took great pictures. You gave quick, thoughts on these. So 11 kitchens. So what's the strategy for somebody going down now that you know what you know about this year's festival?
Well, the strategy changes for this festival because the kitchens open at noon instead of 11. So all of World Showcase is open for an hour before the kitchens actually open. So that gives the crowd a chance to populate the entire area. So there's no real strategy as far as like for the other festivals, the World Showcase isn't open. So once it opens,
right.
Sneak back to the back, go to the American Adventure. There's 4, 5, or 6 kitchens that are wide open, and you can get a lot done before everybody gets there. In this case, they're already there, so it's just wherever you're at, start there. They opened a few minutes early on Sunday, but pretty much right at noon. So we came in the International Gateway and started right at France, made our way counterclockwise, and ended up in Canada.
All right, so I don't know if we're going to have time to go over all 11 kitchens,
sure.
So let's do it this way. Let's kind of get a couple in each category, and then this could be kind of hard because I don't know if you have them sorted this way, but just kind of off the top of your head.
Okay.
Let's go with surprises. Which ones were the biggest surprise as far as the kitchens, maybe good and bad, as far as what you're expecting?
Well, if you follow me at all, you know that I've been down on Italy the last 5 or 6 festivals. For whatever reason, they can't seem to get their stuff together when it comes to these. But they did a great job this year. They had a cavatappi, which is a curly pasta with some cheese sauce and a little truffle breadcrumbs. It was delicious. They had a fried mozzarella sandwich. That's how can
oh.
that. So it was little mini mozzarella sandwiches and on a nice tomato sauce. So that was a big surprise. Italy did a great job, knocked it out of the park. China, almost all 4 items in China were great. So those are two big surprises for me. Also, American Adventure stepped it up this year. They just had a sliced turkey with some mashed potatoes and stuffing, which was good, and traditional ham and sweet potatoes, and they did a great job too.
So to me, Italy looked like, you know, because I'm not a huge foodie, but I don't, trust me, I like to eat. Italy, when you put those pictures, it almost looked like macaroni and cheese. I mean, to me, you know, I'm not fancy. It was like macaroni and cheese, and it was like a grilled cheese. I mean, it looked like it was something that everybody would like. So I think that people will be knocking down the doors for that because it looks like something that most people are familiar with, and it's something that's almost like a comfort food.
It was. It was like a grilled cheese sandwich with tomato sauce or tomato soup and macaroni and cheese. How can you go wrong there? They dialed it up a little bit, but it was exactly what it was, comfort food 101, and they landed.
But is that surprising for Italy, though?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they would go for something a little fancier. But, I mean, it did look fancy in the presentation, but it's still kind of the comfort food at the same time. Yeah.
Japan did a good job. They only had one savory item. They did some soba noodles, and it was probably my favorite dish of the entire festival. Just a nice bowl with some very, very rich dashi broth and some noodles, a little chicken and spinach. Japan always does a good job.
So now, what
do you do a good job for everything. I've not been disappointed with Japan at all, so...
They had a green tea Yule log that I didn't get a chance to try, but it looked kind of cute. Nice. Maybe try that next time.
So now, what did you get at China? Like, what are the things you can get over there? Because is it just typical Chinese food, or is there a spin on it, or what do you have?
In this case, they had a little bit of both. They had a spicy chicken, just a stir fry with some white rice, which was one of my top five also, nice and spicy. They did a traditional, you've seen like the red, sweet spare ribs you get at a Chinese American restaurant. They did the little riff on that. They did some sliced pork and a sweet red sauce with some rice, and that was good. The one thing they did check out a little bit and tried a little upgrade was a Mongolian beef bao bun. The bao bun is that white fluffy bun they do every time, and this time they stuffed it with some sliced beef and onions, and they did a great job on that one. And some egg rolls, they were fine. Pork and vegetable egg rolls, typical, but if you want an egg roll, they were good.
You got to have that. So let me ask you this as we kind of get around to these other kitchens. How were the prices, in your opinion, in the portion sizes?
Prices were great. Portions were great. There was only a couple that I felt a little cheated on. Germany did a cheese fondue in a big bread bowl, and there was just not much there. A couple pieces of bread, a couple pieces of vegetables, and it was like $8, and I was a little offended by that. But everything else was $5.25 to $5.75 range. I 11 to $15 on every... at every kitchen. I think it was value-wise, it was right on point.
And now, don't you use one of those cards or something that you put on your wrist? Or I saw you, like you said, charge something up for the festival that I know that Epcot's been famous for during the festival seasons.
I didn't check that for this festival. I'd use that for a flower and garden. That you have a special card, and sometimes, and I didn't, I wasn't there long enough to look this time, but sometimes they'll offer a deal, like for if you load a card with $250, they get a special card and then a special gift, like a lanyard with a Mickey medallion on it or something like that, or a collectible coin or something, you know, in addition to your card. But $250 can be spent anywhere, so you're going to spend $250 for the week no matter what. So if you're looking for a little souvenir, it's kind of a nice touch.
That's a good tip. Good tip. Because you're right. I mean, you can use it anywhere.
I didn't have hotel rooms, so I couldn't charge my Magic Band.
Ah, yeah. The killer. Yeah, that's not bad. So let me ask you this, too, as we kind of hop in and out of the food, because I want to kind of cover stuff for everybody. What'd you think of the decorations of Epcot? How did Epcot look for the holidays, being there, you know, even before Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving? What'd you think?
Always nice. A lot of Chippendale theme for the party, because they had the Chippendale sun, so that was fun. Their tree is my favorite, I think. I love where it sits. It's got a great background with the lagoon on one side, or the spaceship Earth on the other. So yeah, I love that. I think that's, other than Main Street, you can't beat Main Street. I think Epcot's probably my favorite as far as decorations go.
And I know you said you're going to go back and, you know, take one for the team and do the desserts later in December, which sorry you have to do that. I apologize.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible thing to do.
Tough
yeah.
stuff. So you didn't get to do this, but one of the things I've been seeing a lot on social media is this cookie trail, you know, the thing like that with all these cookies. So I know you didn't do that, but what did you see when it came to that experience for guests?
No, it was really cute. We saw them all, and they didn't get a chance to sample any of them. There's six of them, and they're dotted throughout. There's 11 kitchens in all the only country. Well, anyway, they're around the World Showcase, and every other one has a cookie, and it's marked on the menu. It's real obvious. And I think they're only $2 a piece, and they were really nice-sized cookies, and they're all decorated nicely. There's also a place in your passport that you can get at any store that they will actually physically stamp for you this year, which they used to do for all the items at the festivals. They don't do that anymore. So that's kind of a nice touch.
So, Ricky, what do you think of things like this cookie trail? Because I think that's something that is a family that would be really cool. Like when I, you know, I see these kitchens and I would like to go around and snack and, you know, make a meal out of it by going place to place to place. But I love the idea. I mean, Christmas to me, the holiday season is cookies because we made them with grandma.
True.
And, you know, that a lot of people have that connection. And this gives you an opportunity to kind of, it's like the Easter egg thing, but it's edible. I mean, thoughts on the cookies, the cookie trail.
Yeah. I mean, Christmas cookies are, you know, the thing. I mean, we made them here. So, right now we have Christmas cookies. I think that it definitely takes something that people do for the holidays and it makes it kind of unique and has a unique spin on it, because I think with the cookie trail, you have to eat 6 cookies and then you can get, I think you have to purchase the completer cookie, which is another special cookie that you can get. But you can't get the completer cookie until you purchase the other 6 cookies and eat them. So, yes. So just know that. But, I think it's a really unique way to do things and a unique way to try some different cookies as well. You know, they're not just like traditional chocolate chip cookies or whatever. There's some different options in the mix. And I think since you said almost all the booths have a cookie. So if there was a cookie that you're just like, yeah, that doesn't sound like something that I want to try, you're not out because you don't not get to complete the cookie trail. Then you can go to one of the other booths and find a different cookie that may interest you a little bit better. So I think that that's kind of nice. And it really is. It really is something about the holidays to, you know, have your Christmas cookies. I think it's a really creative idea for sure.
Really cute. The only drawback with it, and I noticed it right off the bat, was you have to wait in the same line as everybody else. And I heard some people talking about it when I first got there. The American Adventure was about where we started, and the line was way, it spilled all the way out to the amphitheater almost. But it moved pretty quick.
Wow.
But somebody said, I'm not going to wait in this line for a cookie. And I thought, well, we can get other stuff. But that was, so it's all combined in the same line, so you have to keep that in mind a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like,
that's good to know.
It sounds like, I mean, that'd be something easy to kind of have like a little offshoot secondary line just for the cookies, because there's no preparation. You know, you just swipe something, here's the cookie, and move on. Hopefully, maybe
they'll probably go to that. These festivals, one thing they do is they evolve. Because I'll post pictures on day one, and I'll go back a week later and follow somebody else, and the pictures will be completely different. So they learn from their mistakes, and I guarantee they'll end up doing that, because people are not going to wait in a 15-minute line for a cookie they can just grab and go. And they'll sell more cookies that way.
Right.
Win-win.
Yeah.
That's true. Are the cookies packaged, or are they like loose cookies?
On a plate.
They're
all prepared, obviously, so they could sell a lot. It's a win for everybody.
As you guys might know, if you follow me on social media, I am trying so hard to get down to Walt Disney World during the holiday season this year with Mallory, because we're homeschooling. And so I'm trying to just go down for like 3 or 4 days, go to a Christmas party, go to Epcot and come home. But she's in this competitive cheerleading where they practice on Wednesdays and Sundays. And it's like they're not allowed to miss a practice. It's mandatory. Why couldn't it be like Mondays and Tuesdays where we have a big old window after Tuesday? Nope. So I'm trying to make it work. She's got all these competitions certain days. Oh, it's killing me. And this cookie thing is they made this for me, man. This is, I need the completer cookie, man. That is my thing.
That's right.
I didn't hear about the completer cookie. That's cool.
Oh, God. I got to have it.
Yes.
Is there any idea what this is? It like a special cookie? I mean, is it like bigger?
Cookie. No, I think it's Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
I think it's a
sense.
Mickey Mouse cookie. Yeah.
Oh, this is the kind of stuff, because I love Christmas. I love the holidays. I love the music. I love the lights. I love the food. The cookies are just putting me over the top. That's one of the reasons I like going to the Christmas party over at the Magic Kingdom. Anyway, let's get back to Epcot. So, Todd, walk us through some of the other kitchens. What can we get going to some of these other kitchens during the festival?
Well, there's a new kitchen this year. It's between France and Morocco. It's called Lachaim. It's a celebrates Hanukkah, traditional Jewish food. They had a really nice little pastrami on rye, 3 bites, or maybe 4 bites, a little small sandwich, a house-made pickle. Very well done. One of my top 5. They also did a potato knish. Knish is a pastry that's filled with mashed potatoes and a little dill cream sauce. And that was very filling, very inexpensive, and well done. And maybe my favorite, they did a matzo ball soup. I don't know if you are familiar with that. It's like a chicken soup that's got a matzo ball is like a cracker meal, kind of like a big dumpling. It's kind of like chicken and dumplings, only the Jewish version, and that was outstanding. That whole booth was brand new, and they did an excellent job.
Let me ask you about that booth, because we were up at the Sheingolds. We stay there. We go to Indianapolis, and we love it. They're such great hosts. And one of the things they had for breakfast, I think it was the past couple of years, was these. I think, and again, I don't get out much, and I don't have a lot of ethnic foods. But it was like a kolache. It was kind of like a.
kolache. That's what the are those the little buns like, with the stuff for like barbecue inside or whatever.
Yeah, but it was like eggs in the because it was breakfast. It was like eggs and ham and stuff inside this thing. It is one of the greatest things I have ever eaten in my life. Do they have those during the festival? Because then I'm just leaving Mallory behind. She's staying here by herself for 3 days.
We have them here. There's a kolache factory here in town.
Yeah, there's actually one out on Manchester Road, which I gotta get out there.
Those are great. I mean, you can't beat that. And you can fill them with anything, desserts, anything.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine having a dessert one. I didn't think about that.
You just blew his mind, Todd. Those blew my mind.
Those things were so they had a bunch of them in the kitchen when we were all because there's a bunch of us staying at their house. But I didn't want to be like a pig and eat a bunch of them. But I could have eaten that whole box. I just tore them. They're so good. So
did they make them or bring them in?
They got them from a bakery, I think. They were so good. Yeah, they didn't make them.
Yeah, I love them. You can't beat that. Anything wrapped in dough and fried or baked.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, because it's almost like you know, like when you're a kid and you go to the chicken with the you know the egg pops out and you get a little prize in the middle. But I mean, you get to eat the you get to eat the egg and the prize is like the ham or like you know some kind of egg or something. It was so good. Anyway, oh, I'm drooling. So walk us
you're
through some of the. This is so rough. Because we're recording this before Thanksgiving when I'm just starving, but hopefully I'm having leftovers.
Anyway, and I still haven't eaten from when I got back from Disney. So.
Correct, Lord. Yes.
I love this stuff.
I'm going to get interesting on this.
So walk us through some of the other kitchens, Todd. What else should we not miss?
Mexico was nice. They had a chicken enchilada with a red mole sauce, which would be right up Mike's alley.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
And they did 100%. A shrimp tamale, which I don't think I've ever had a shrimp tamale, but... very good masa, tender shrimp, and they did a dark mole, which is a kind of a bitter and sweet chocolate, savory chocolate sauce, and that was pretty nicely done. Mexico did a good job this year. Can I say something? CJ, who's in the chat right now, she met me down there and helped me through through all the World Showcase, so I just want to say hi and thanks for your help.
Oh, that's so good. So she helped you eat, is basically what you're saying.
For everything she got to eat, but she helped me schlep stuff and ran and got food, and it was nice for her. So I want to say thanks to her. I couldn't have done
that's
it.
That's awesome.
So here's $1 million question I'm sure everybody listening wants to know. Did you, and if you did, how many times did you have to dine on top of a trash can?
Oh, every single? 11 times, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. I'm guessing there were tables, just probably not enough, right?
You know what? That's funny you said that because I mentioned that there for the last festival,
Food and Wine.
They did a great job with tables this year. They really stepped it up and put a bunch more out there. There were none for this festival, none. And I'm
really?
I think they're going to have to adjust.
What, they couldn't leave them out there from the last festival? It's not like it was that much time.
It was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of trash cans. It was funny because we'd get six or seven plates on those two double stacked trash cans, and we'd be doing our pictures and backing them. And people were waiting to throw their stuff away. They're like, excuse me, throw this away. I'm like, I'm sorry. We've got work to do.
Sorry, here you go. Yep.
And the funny thing is, you got to check out Chef Todd's Twitter Instagram because. These things look like they're senior pictures, you know, like the enchiladas are like working it. I mean, they're like perfectly lit. You would never know those come from the top of a trash can, Todd. You totally had me fooled.
I added a little bit. I cooked some of them, but yeah, there's the senior pictures without the bad hairdos, right?
That's exactly
got
it.
Exactly. It's my senior pictures just with food instead of my face. So
well, we know Ricky does senior pictures every other weekend, so you know
that's right.
That's
how she rolls.
That's it. All right.
One day I'll break out my senior picture. I have a huge afro, believe it or not. It's black and
white. Oh my gosh!
You totally gotta do that.
Oh, I'm old and I had hair.
Oh Lord. Yeah, I'll have to bust mine out too sometime. They're pretty crazy. All right, so I know I had a baseball jersey in one of them. So let me think. So walk us through any of the other kitchens because we just want to get to as much as we can just so anybody that goes down, they have the knowledge to prepare to get the most out of the festival.
Sure. Germany had a kitchen, Bavarian kitchen. They did a potato dumpling, kind of about the same size as the matzo ball. It was awesome. They served it with a ton of wild mushrooms and a brown sauce, and that was a top handful as well. They did a sauerbraten, which is a marinated beef and braised, and it was good. It was pretty, tasted okay, a little dried out, but I would give it another shot. And the cheese fondue, which I mentioned earlier, I probably wouldn't do that again. It was $8.25 and it was just bread and cheese. It was kind of a ripoff.
That's expensive for fondue. I don't know what Disney thinks. I feel like they always have a really expensive like fondue option. It's like you do know it's just melted cheese and some bread, right? And maybe some vegetables.
And that was the one. It was a good shareable if it was $4.25 or $5.50.
Yeah.
But it was twice as much as the beef dish. I didn't get the pricing on that one at all.
Fondue.
That's insane.
The word fondue just sounds fancy.
Morocco had a couple good dishes. They had a kefta, which is a ground lamb skewer that was served in a pita. I thought that was delicious and shareable. And that was $5, and you could probably have three people eat that. So the pricing was generally good, good values.
Yeah.
I can't say very many negative things. There was maybe two or three dishes that I didn't like at all, and that was just because of maybe preparation, not necessarily because of flavor. Sometimes you lose a little in the translation when you're trying to serve 1,000 people instead of 10 people, so I think they'll work all that out. But I thought overall they did a great job.
Now, how did you, because I actually went to the festival last year, so one of the booths that I really enjoyed was the one from Canada. I think it's the Yukon booth. So what did you think of that booth this year?
Like very nicely cooked salmon, nice and clean. An apple chutney. I hate to be the guy dicing those apples. They were diced like the quarter inch dice. Some guy had to be dicing apples since Food and Wine. Crazy, but it was good. They did a good job on it. They had a little meat pie with the homemade ketchup. I didn't like that a whole lot. Ketchup was good, but the meat pie was just kind of weird. But Canada's always stellar. They're basically first stop because they're right there, so they're always busy. So I think they always do a good job for the festival. Definitely.
So let me ask you this, Todd, because if I go to a festival, I go one time, maybe for race weekend or something. If it's Food and Wine or what have you, Star Wars, I'll be down there during Flower and Garden. Do the prices ever change throughout the festival? Like you said, the one thing's not a good value. The one thing is kind of maybe it's a great buy, and Disney might see that and try to, correct that. Or do they stay solid for the entire festival and then they just change prices next year?
That's a good question. I would doubt that they do because of all the printed materials. Mm-hmm. I would doubt that they do. I know they pay attention for next year. I guarantee they do that.
That they do. So I can say with almost certainty that they don't usually change the pricing throughout the festival. However, during the Epcot Food and Wine Festival this past year, I did hear that they changed some of the pricing. It was all the pricing increased for everything. So, you had the Mickey bars go up in price and the sodas go up in price. I believe that I heard that they changed the pricing just for that festival at that time. But other than that, I've never heard them changing pricing for the festivals. Once they have it set, it's usually a set for the festival and you don't have to worry about the pricing changing mid-festival. So it's not going to go up or down. But it's gonna stay, and then it'll go up next year when they're ready for it to come back again.
And one thing that here's the passport, by the way. There's never prices in the passport, so I think that keeps a little fluid that way. They print a billion of these and they're everywhere. It would be a nightmare to change a price on that. So I think that's kind of why they do that. But I don't know for sure of anybody. I haven't heard anyway of any prices changing.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, it makes sense
with
all the signage.
That was kind of unusual.
Yeah. And, once you get the signage made, you don't want to mess with it, because it's probably I'm sure they would make their money back 10 times, but, it is kind of a pain in the butt to have to do that.
Right. By the time you had a quarter to something, you got to change all the menus. You got to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Worry about making somebody upset. You're better off just making it up next year. People will still pay it.
So you were there at the beginning of the festival. Now, you felt, though, that the cast members and the folks that are preparing the food and serving the food in these kitchens, they were on their game, even because you were there, right at the beginning. And sometimes it takes a little bit of learning curve. But I guess, it's probably the same people serving the food at Food and Wine, Flower and Garden. I mean, it's not because it's a new festival. It's a new crew. I mean, it's just different food probably, right?
That's a great question. It's probably the best it's ever been on open. I try to go to every opening day of every festival. I don't always get there. This was the most well-oiled opening day of any festival I've been to. I told you that I was lined up almost, I wasn't quite out to the amphitheater in American, but I was way outside of the actual pavilion, and the line took maybe 10, 12 minutes, moved very quickly. All the lines typically that I would just walk on by and say, see you later, I stayed in because I wanted to try everything, and the lines moved, they did a great job of expediting, and they were well-trained. And I think maybe the extra hour helped, truthfully, because they didn't have to start so early. And I think they had a little extra hour to get ready. And I had no issues waiting in line. And presentations were quality. They weren't crazy like they do for Festival of the Arts, where they try to do some architecture and plan some things up. And it makes things difficult. But this went smoothly. Very.
All right. So let me ask you this, because I want to make sure we get these things in. So let me ask you, for kids, if you had to guess, which of these 11 kitchens would be the best? Now, your daughter's very adventurous, but I mean, the typical kid, you want to take them and you want to have kind of a safe bet, a safe landing out of the 11 kitchens. Where are you going?
There's some in quotes kid friendly items on the passport. That Disney kind of did the math for us there, but the Italy cavatappi with white. Yeah, that's basically mac and cheese. You could probably ask them to leave that truffle breadcrumbs off the top. It'd be no problem. You know, if they like Thanksgiving, the American Adventure had the, you know, sliced turkey and mashed potatoes and ham and sweet potatoes. And that's as down the middle of the road as you can get. Let's see here. The knish from Lakheim was just mashed potatoes and a pastry. You could get the sauce off of that one. There's plenty there.
So let me ask you this too.
Just stuff them with cookies. Take one from the team.
There you go. Exactly.
The sad thing is that the kid ones are the ones that I'm the most excited about. So there you go. I mean, you're like, yes, that's where I was going to go. Yes, yes. American Adventure, Italy. Yes, yes. Okay, we're good. And cookies. Boom. So I'm just a huge tall kid. So let me ask you this too. If you had to miss, okay, so you went to all these kitchens. You said for the most part they were well done, and you had, you know, stuff that you liked almost everywhere. If you had to just leave one out, which is the one that you would leave out if you had to leave, you know, drop one?
I hate to repeat it, but I got to say the fondue in Germany. The egg rolls in China were serviceable, but you can get those at China King, you know, in your neighborhood. Right. I would probably skip those just because, you know, just the money and the fill and the stomach space of nothing else. There were nothing to write home about. Let me think of one more here. That's not the meat pie in Canada was just okay. Yeah. But I was pretty impressed overall. Really, really well. Really impressed top to bottom.
Okay, so last question for this one, and you know, we'll let everybody go because I know it's a busy weekend. Everybody's spending time with friends and family. I know. Everybody, get back your leftovers.
Oh wait, no, I'm full. What am I
that's
talking
right,
about?
That's right. Yeah, but you got to get back. You know, it's your second or third round of leftovers by now. So let me ask you this, Todd. So I think a lot of folks go to the festivals, to Epcot, and you know, you're in a quandary because Epcot's got great counter service options. It's got awesome table service restaurants when you're going around World Showcase. I mean, you got Garden Grill, you got, you know, just other restaurants that you can enjoy. I was thinking of Coral Reef. You know, some people go there. I like it just for the ambiance. You know, you just have lots of places to eat. But what's your strategy? I know you're only there for 4 hours this time, but I mean, taking the family around, you're on a vacation, but you want to, you know, instead of sitting down at a meal, you want to go around and make the most of the festival and try lots of different things you can't get back home. So what would you offer our listeners in the way of, you know, really making the festival dining your dining for the day? What would you do?
For the whole day, I would just take your time and tour the entire pavilion like you would anyway. You know, go inside Germany and see all the sights and then maybe have a little of food outside and make it an all-day affair. But if you wanted to try something that's already there, an existing restaurant, definitely hit the festivals first thing. Get there right when they open. Have lunch, try as many as you can, and maybe some of the larger festivals have to break it into a couple days. But there's enough to take. If you stroll around the World Showcase like people do when they first get there, there's plenty to eat, you know, every hour, every whatever, and tour inside more and take advantage of what's in the pavilion itself.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing is that it's a mindset thing for me because I'm used to, and I think a lot of typical Americans are, a little feedback there, that, you know, we got to sit down for a big meal. And I think when you're down at Walt Disney World, you can do this every day of your trip, that you can snack your way around and still be full. I mean, I think I'd want to do this because if I have a gigantic meal for lunch and a gigantic meal for dinner, I'm not likely to want a Mickey bar in the afternoon. And I want to do that when I'm there or, you know, like in this festival, all these awesome options that I'm not going to get back home. So is that kind of the strategy to kind of get out of your mind that you don't have to have, you know, three squares a day? You might just want to snack your way around for the whole day.
Certainly. That's why I never do the dining plan. I don't want to be locked into a lunch and a dinner with a, you know, appetizer, entree, dessert, you know, twice a day. And then the hour of downtime after you eat where you can't even budge or move, you know, so.
Right.
Snacking and staying light and having 12 meals that day or whatever and staying on the go, you can get a lot more tasted and feel a lot better by yourself for sure.
True.
And we do our ADR. We do a table service almost every evening just because that's what we like to do. But as far as during the day, we almost never sit down and have lunch. We always stay fluid during the day.
Cool.
And almost never breakfast for that matter.
So, Ricky, as we close the show out, I mean, what has you excited for Festival of Holidays at Epcot? You know, looking at it from a distance, you blogged about it. You know, you were there last year. What if you had to pick something that excites you for getting down there that would focus getting you over to Epcot, what is it?
Well, definitely the food booths, they are a huge draw. Obviously, they are always a huge draw. That's why Epcot continues to roll out these festivals. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest. They know the food booths are extremely popular, so they know that it's, you know, something that people are going to want to stop and eat at, so and spend their money. You know, the holiday storytellers, I think, are something that, you know, is not talked about as much anymore now that they've started the festival. I feel like other things have kind of taken precedence, especially at the food booth. So make sure you do stop and enjoy some of the festivities that happen around with these storytellers. I stopped for a couple of them last year, and they're just fantastic. They're really entertaining to learn about the holiday festivities around the globe. So that's kind of interesting. And another thing that not a lot of people know is there's actually a gingerbread house that's in the American Adventure Pavilion, and it's the Capitol building. So I think that that's kind of like one of those cool things that not a lot of people know about that exists. So make sure you explore the countries and really see, because you may find something that you didn't know was there that showcases how they celebrate the holidays. That I think that that's kind of unique.
And I think that's it. You know, Epcot's got, during, you know, a typical day in the summer, Epcot's got layers to it. But I think if you go, say, in the summertime, your focus is on attractions, and then you can supplement with maybe some music and some live entertainment. Where during this festival, I see it's like almost like an onion with its layers, that you have. You have a really focus on food during Festival of the Holidays, but you also have, like you said, the storytellers, lots of live entertainment. You got things like Candlelight Processional, music, the Christmas Story, and you have, I mean, the attractions are almost like the third level of what you want to do at Epcot during the festival. I mean, that's what I would say for folks that are listening to the show. Now, if it's a first-time trip, obviously, you want to ride Soarin', Test Track, Frozen Ever After, stuff like that, but I think, you know, this turns it into just, I mean, there's so much to do. You really couldn't do it all in it. Todd, I mean, you've been there. I mean, this is something you couldn't do in a day. I mean, this is something you got to do over a weekend, or, you know, go back maybe two or three times over a week, right?
Especially for the holidays. If you're there for the holidays to absorb the holidays, take your time. I love Ricky's point about the storytellers. They're awesome. They're scheduled to where you can see a lot of them because they're kind of offset and pretty close to each other. We spend a lot of time watching them over and over, and that's really what the holidays are about. There's also the Chippendale scavenger hunt. There's always a scavenger hunt for the festival, and this one, the prizes are some cute little greeting cards, packs of greeting cards. I'm sorry, like holiday cards. And they're neat. We didn't get a chance to do that. Obviously, we'll check that in December. But there's definitely, I like the layer reference, because you start with the food, then you go back in and get a little deeper into each country and learn about their Christmas traditions.
Cool. All right. Well, Todd, hey, we appreciate you sitting in for Pam this week. I know she's down at Walt Disney World. This is off Symphony of the Seas. So a perfect expert for this show. And we even had a request in the chat from Terry. He wants you to come back and tell us about Festival of the Arts. So can we get you on the book for that?
My wife will kill
January.
Me.
We gotta get it.
Yeah, your wife will kill you.
Gotta take one for the team, man.
We got garden for sure, but if I sneak in in January, I might be in trouble. We'll see.
All right.
That's my boss.
Well, I'm putting you.
I mean her.
All right, let's see. I'm putting Chef Todd. I'm putting you in pencil here on the book.
Yeah, pencil it in. Tell me a date.
All right, there we go. All right, well, thank you so very much for listening to today's show. We hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully it makes your trip down to Walt Disney World a little better this holiday season, especially if you're heading to Epcot. Again, huge shout-out to Chef Todd. So check out his Instagram, at ChefTodd55, right? That's where we're looking?
Yes, sir.
All righty. All right. Well, don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So as we move into 2019, great time. There's a few things happening down at Walt Disney World in 2019.
Hello.
Few things you could explore, even if you're the most veteran Walt Disney World traveler. So drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote, put in some dates, resorts, and I promise you, if you put the Be Our Guest podcast, I'll be back in touch with you right away. We're going to plan a great vacation at the best price possible, and I promise to work very hard for you on this trip. It's going to be awesome. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. And don't forget, if you're doing your online shopping this weekend, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It really does help support the show. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks again to everybody who continues to use that throughout the year. It's really going to help us this weekend. So again, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at beourguestpod. And at Be Our Guest Mike, and drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast, and check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, it's time to get out of here. Let's get back to your leftovers and have a great time with friends and family. Enjoy some football, enjoy some family time, relax, and enjoy the weekend. So for Chef Todd and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving one more time, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.